We're continuing our series this morning, Come Holy Spirit, Come Holy Spirit. And today's message is titled, God's Best Gift, God's Best Gift. You know, we tend to exchange gifts all year round. Christmas, birthday, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduations, weddings, showers, and the list goes on. But have you ever stopped to consider what makes a gift precious to you? Why is it that we value some gifts above others? Now, there are many reasons why we treasure certain gifts, but I read an article that cited three primary reasons why we value particular gifts. The first reason is someone special gave it to us. And it is the love expressed in the giving of that gift. Not the gift itself, per se, but the love that was shown in the giving of that gift that makes it important to us. Some of you ladies may have the very first rose that your husband gave you. Back then, you know, he was still your boyfriend, but you saved that rose. You pressed it dry within the pages of a book, and you have preserved it all of these years. Not because the rose itself, dried and fragile, now has any value, but it is precious to you because of who gave it to you. Second reason that we value certain gifts is that that gift might be life-changing for us. For instance, a child might receive a keyboard and discover that they have a musical talent that steers them their life through to becoming a musician. Heather Ray Johnson, a famed photographer, said that her grandparents gave her a camera when she was just 8 years old, and it sparked a passion, a love for photography in her life, and that directed the course of her life. She will always remember that gift when she was 8 years old because it changed her life. And there's a third reason the article cited that gifts may be precious to us, and it's because the gift is costly. Certainly we would treat very carefully and very guardedly an expensive piece of diamond jewelry, say. We would use the cubic zirconia for everyday wear, but we would keep the costly diamond for those special occasions. We treasure gifts that we receive from a loved one because of who they are and the love expressed in that gift, regardless of its value. We treasure gifts that have changed our lives. And yes, there is a special treasuring of gifts that are of a high value, that are costly. The amazing thing is, the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is all three of these. The gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the good gift of our loving Heavenly Father. It cost the life of His Son, Jesus Christ, to make that gift available to us. And when we receive it, it changes our life. You see, the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit fits all three of these reasons why a gift should be treasured or highly valued by us. And for this reason, we ought to seek, we ought to desire, and we ought to treasure the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life. Read with me, if you will, Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Jesus said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" I like what one commentator wrote in regard to this verse. He said, "The Holy Spirit is spoken of in this text as the best gift which God in His rich bounty can bestow on man." The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the best gift which God in His bounty can give to man. Do you hear what Jesus said? He said, even imperfect earthly parents give good gifts to their children. Most normal parents, most loving parents want to give the best that they can to their children. How many of you would agree? And if earthly parents have that inclination to give good gifts, to give the very best they can to their children, Jesus said, how much more then will our Heavenly Father give? And when he thought of the very best thing that the Heavenly Father could give to his children, Jesus said, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, the best gift that God can give to his children. On the day of Pentecost, 120 followers of Christ received this wonderful gift and spoke in other tongues as a sign that this gift had come upon them, attracting a large crowd. And Peter stood to preach, explaining to the questioning crowd what all of this meant. It meant that God was pouring out his promised Holy Spirit upon all flesh, men and women, young and old. And in Acts 2:38, he told the listening crowd that God wanted each and every one of them to have this gift as well, this precious gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, God wants every person who has been saved, who has repented, and that's what's symbolized by repenting and being water baptized. It's symbolizing salvation, and it's telling us that God wants every single person who has been saved to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This gift is available to every single person who has repented and received Christ as their Savior. And if this is the very best gift that God has to offer us, then we should eagerly seek to receive it. We should want it. We should desire it. And we should pursue it with everything that is within us. And once we have received it, we ought to highly value it above every other gift because of who gave it to us and the love expressed in its giving. Because of how much it cost the life of Jesus Christ, his son, to make it available to us. And because it will absolutely change our lives as we walk in the daily transforming power of the Holy Spirit. We should eagerly seek and highly value the baptism in the Holy Spirit because God's gift is motivated by his love. God's love moves him to give us good gifts. He delights to bless his children with good gifts. In John 3:16, it says that God's love moved him to give, for God so loved the world that he gave. God's love moves him to give and to give the very best, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And through that offering, he has also made available or given the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, don't ever think that because you have not yet received the baptism in the Holy Spirit that God doesn't love you. It is because he loves you that he gives the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the very best gift that God has in his bounty. In Luke 11:13, Jesus contrasting the inclination of imperfect, sinful, earthly parents to give good gifts to their children says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? How much more? If you are eager to give good gifts to your children, how much more willing and eager is the Heavenly Father to give to you and to give to you the baptism in the Holy Spirit? A commentator by the name of Jay Jowett writes, what can this Heavenly Father bestow on his children more worthy of the name of a good gift than the Holy Spirit? He has given his son, yet even that gift avails us not until the Spirit be added to it. God's good gift. God is a loving Heavenly Father. And he gave his son to save us from our sins, but he gives the Holy Spirit to empower us to live free from sin and to live a life that is pleasing and honoring to Christ who died for us, and a life that will fulfill the purpose for which Christ died. And as we saw last week, apart from the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we are weak and faltering in living the life that he called us to live and doing the work that he called us to do. God is a loving heavenly Father whose desire is to give good gifts to his children. And the best of all of his abundant riches that have been made available to us through the cross is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is because he loves you that he makes this wonderful gift available to you. It is because he loves you that he offers this gracious gift to every believer. It is because he loves you that you can be born again by the sacrifice of Christ and now able to receive this wonderful gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Thomas A. Kempis, a noted church leader of time past, advised that the person values not so much the gift of the lover as the love of the giver. For those who may not yet have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you focus on the fact that you have not yet received the gift and spoken in tongues, you may become discouraged and you may begin to doubt God's love for you and you may stop seeking. But if you focus instead on God's great love for you, a love that delights to give you good things, a love that was demonstrated in giving his son Jesus Christ on the cross to make all of these good things available to you, and a love that offers to all of his children the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, then you will be encouraged to seek after the one who loves you so much for every good gift that he has for you, especially this best gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. God's love not only moves him to give good gifts, but God's love also moves him to give us what we need. How many of you know that even as a parent, there are times that you give good gifts that are extraneous, good gifts that are not necessarily something that your children need, but something that you know they will enjoy, something that you know they will want. But then there are other times that you give them what they need. Well, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have both types of gifts. We have the very best gift that God can give us, something that will bring great joy and delight to our soul. But it is also what we need. We don't need to receive the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order for God to love us. I want you to get that in your spirit. We do not need to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit in order for God to love us. But we do need to experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit so that we might love God the way he deserves to be loved. See, I don't think you understand that. Some people think, if I get the baptism in the Holy Ghost, that must mean God loves me. No, God has already shown that he loves you. But you see, we are weak and imperfect in our love towards God apart from the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And our love towards God is not just a mushy, warm feeling. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Our love towards God is evidenced in a life that is pleasing and honoring to him. And it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can truly live that life that loves God the way he deserves to be loved. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, which originally was a revivalist movement, and he did in his meetings have many manifestations that were very close to what we know as the moving of the Holy Spirit. But John Wesley, he spoke of something called a second definite work of grace beyond salvation, which he referred to as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And his teachings became the foundation of many of our Pentecostal doctrines, although it is not clear whether he had the full Pentecostal experience of speaking in other tongues, but his teachings are right in line with what the scripture teaches regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, there were many manifestations in his meetings that are in line with what we know as the moving of the Holy Spirit. But he taught that this experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit delivers a person from the power of sin and enables them to enter into a state of perfect love, a love which excludes sin. Let me illustrate that in a way that we might be able to understand. Someone has said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and then do whatever you want. Let that sink down in your spirit. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then do whatever you want. Yes. Because if you love the Lord with everything that is within you, then you're going to want to do what pleases him. And that's why John Wesley said, when you receive this experience of the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you're going to experience such love for God that is going to exclude sin in your life. He described it as producing a purity of intention, dedicating all of our life to God, loving God with all of our heart, and as being the renewal of the heart in the whole image of God. That's what he said this baptism in the Holy Spirit would do in our life. And a life of perfect love meant living in a way that was centered on loving God and loving others. A life that is pleasing and honoring to God in every way. You see, in Romans 5:5, Paul says this, God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When we receive the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, our hearts are infused with love. The Holy Spirit is often symbolized by fire in Scripture. Even as fire descended on the 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and flames of fire, as it were, sat upon each of their heads as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit sets our lives, sets our hearts on fire for God, sets our hearts on fire for his church, his people, and sets our heart on fire for the lost. This is what the Holy Spirit does when we receive him. He fills us, he infuses us with the love of God. Our hearts are impassioned with love for God's people, and for his saving purpose. If our Christian experience is dull, lifeless, and dutiful, if our relationship with God is embodied in mere rituals and duties and routines, we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that our hearts can be set on fire for him. Hallelujah. The second reason that we should seek and cherish the baptism in the Holy Spirit is that God's gift is good. God's gift is good. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God only gives good gifts. And when Jesus was thinking about what gift would be at the top of that list, what would be the best gift, in contrast to the gifts earthly parents give, he said it's the Holy Spirit, the best gift that God can give. And you know what that tells us? God's gift is to be desired. Is to be desired. Have you ever watched children at Christmas? They are eager to rip into the gifts under the tree. There's no question in their mind that whatever is in those boxes under the tree is good, because it comes from someone who loves them and someone who only gives good gifts. So Christmas morning, No one has to wake them up. Every other day when it's school day, wake up, 10 minutes later, wake up, get up. But on Christmas morning, you don't have to wake them up. You don't have to coax them. You don't have to prod them. You don't have to push them. They are up like lightning, and they're waking you up, and they're dragging you to the tree so that they can open their gifts. In fact, they probably had a hard time sleeping the night before because they were so excited and they were so eager. In fact, for weeks, they may have been saying, how many days more to Christmas? How many? Oh, I hope I get. I want. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And they're giving you their whole Christmases for weeks before Christmas comes. And you get them what they want and some of the things they need. And you sit back with great delight on Christmas morning as you watch them with excitement in their eyes, opening those gifts and thrilled with the gifts that they have received. You see, that's how God wants us to be towards receiving the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There was in the book of Acts a story of a man named Cornelius. And God sent Peter to Cornelius' house because Cornelius was spiritually hungry. And he wanted to know more about God and about Jesus and about serving the Lord. Peter went under a little bit of duress because Peter was a Jew and Cornelius was a Roman centurion. But God kind of supernaturally convinced Peter, you go. And Peter went there and under some protest, Peter began to preach the gospel to Cornelius and his entire household, a group of approximated at about 70 people. Peter is preaching to them about Jesus when Peter himself at the moment doesn't even believe that Gentiles could be saved. But God told him to go. So he went. And in the midst of his preaching, Peter hadn't even finished the sermon. Cornelius and his entire household got baptized in the Holy Ghost and was speaking in other tongues. And at the end, Peter said, how could we keep them from being water baptized, a symbol of salvation, if God baptized them in the Holy Ghost because we heard them speaking in other tongues? I want you to see what happened. Peter is telling them about God's love for them and what Jesus Christ has done for them. And no one had to coax them or prod them or drag them to the altar in the midst of Peter's sermon. He hadn't even finished yet. They received Jesus as their Savior. And there was such eagerness for God, such hunger for God, such thirst for all God had, that they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Do we have that kind of eagerness? Do we have that kind of hunger? I had a friend several years ago, and unfortunately her marriage was not the best that it ought to have been. And one thing she always complained about with her husband, he had this low-key personality. If you talk to those that study personalities, he had what's called a phlegmatic personality. It's a very laid-back personality. Doesn't get ruffled about much. Doesn't get excited about much either. But what just bugged her to no end is that she would search for weeks in advance of an occasion coming up to get him just the right gift. And when that day would come, and I witnessed it on one occasion when she gave him a birthday gift as I was at the event celebrating his birthday. And she gave him what she thought would be the perfect gift that he would really enjoy and really like. And he opened the bag. He pulled it out. He looked at it, put it back in the bag, put the bag down, said thank you, and walked on. No excitement. No, this is great. This is wonderful. And it just bugged the bejeebies out of her. God has given us the very best gift that he has to give. And it cost him the life of his son, Jesus Christ. But are we a lot like this husband that looks at it and says, oh, that's nice. Put it back in the bag and put it on the ground. Or do we desire, eagerly seek and cherish this wonderful gift that God has. Like children on Christmas morning, we should light up with excitement and be like a little child pressing their parents because they want to open their gift. You should be like a little child coming to this altar saying, pray for me. I want this gift. See, Jesus said it this way. He said, to receive the kingdom of God, you must become like little children. When you hear about this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, you must be like a little child on Christmas morning saying, if such a wonderful gift is waiting for me at that altar, I am running to that altar and I am going to rip into that gift by faith, if you will, to receive this wonderful gift God has for me. God's gift is to be desired. God's gift is to be enjoyed. It's to be enjoyed. Paul speaks about the joy given by the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are filled with joy. In Romans 14, 17, Paul said, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. And that was symbolizing the rules and rituals of other religions. He said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules and rituals, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying is, when the Holy Spirit reigns or controls our life, it is manifested in righteousness, right living, peace. He gives us peace in all circumstances. And we also become a peacemaker. Hallelujah. And he gives us joy. Joy. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. There will be joy in following and serving the Lord and doing his will. Now, joy is not the same as happiness, folks. The word happiness comes from the same root word as happenings. Happiness is based on what's happening to us. If something good is happening to us, we are happy. If something bad happens to us, we tend to lose our happiness. So in that case, happiness comes and goes. But joy does not depend upon our circumstances. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit living in us and filling us and having control over our lives so that no matter what our circumstances, we can have joy. You see? And that's what last week I shared with you. One of my radiation therapists, when I was leaving, she was hugging me, and one of them said, we're sorry to see you go. It was such a pleasure to have you as a patient. And the other one, she said, you have such a different disposition. The other one said, you have an aura about you that wherever you go, you bring peace and joy. That wasn't me. I was going through something very difficult, folks. But that was the Holy Spirit giving me peace and giving me joy in the midst of it all. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit living in us, having control over our lives, so that we know that no matter whatever is happening in our life, God has got us. God is in control, even when everything in our life may seem out of control. God has got us. The Bible teaches us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And since the Holy Spirit is the source of our joy, it means that when we're full of the Holy Ghost, he is going to give us the strength, the power that we need to overcome every trial, every test, every difficulty, every challenge that we might face. We will have joy. And that joy will be our strength. In 1 Thessalonians 1:6, believers were experiencing severe suffering. They were being severely persecuted for their faith. But the scripture says that they were facing it and overcoming it. How? by the joy given them by the Holy Spirit. By the joy given them by the Holy Spirit. Folks, you know, in the world, a lot of people on the weekends, or sometimes more regularly than that, they try to escape or find some solace from the difficulties and trials and problems that they're going through by relying on a different type of spirits. They go to the bar or the club and they drink away their pain or their sorrows or their difficulty trying to escape. Or some of them on a more regular basis, they come home every night and they drink themselves into what they think is an escape. It's really only causing more problems, but they think it's an escape. We have something far better. Far better. That's why Paul says, don't be drunk with alcohol, but rather keep on being filled with the Spirit. See, we have something far better that gives us great joy, no matter what our circumstances. When you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, you can have joy in all of life's circumstances. And serving the Lord and walking with the Lord is one of the most joyous experiences. It is the best thing in life. You look forward. You look forward to coming to church. You look forward to teaching a Sunday school class. You look forward to leading worship. You look forward to witnessing and sharing your faith. Because of the joy of the Holy Spirit in your life. The third reason that we should eagerly seek and cherish the baptism of the Holy Spirit is because God's gift is for you. God wants you to have this gift. But you need to claim your gift. When my niece was about 2, she thought every gift that came in the house was hers. The moment she spotted a gift bag or a wrapped box, she went running with arms out saying, "Mine! Mine!" And if you didn't let her open it, it was a little bit of a problem. She would start crying and getting upset. So every gift, we had to let her open it up. And then most of the time, if it was clothes or something, she didn't like it. So she would say, "Cloth." And she would throw it on the ground and go on about her business because it wasn't a toy or something that she wanted. But the way she lit up when she saw a gift wrap package and came running saying, "Mine, mine, mine." That's the way we need to be towards everything that God says He wants to give us in the Bible, because whatever He wants to give us is a good gift and He wants us to have it. And we need to say, "Mine." God says He wants to give us the gift of salvation. We need to say, "Mine." God says He wants to give us healing. We need to say, "Mine." God says He wants to give us prosperity. We need to say, "Mine." God says He wants to give us peace. We need to say, "Mine." God says He wants to give us joy. We need to say, "Mine." God says He wants to give us the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need to say, "Mine," and come running to Him with arms open wide. Hallelujah. This is what faith is all about. Believing that what God has promised is for me. It's mine. And I want everything that God has for me. As someone has said, I want to be under the spout where the glory comes out. I want God to pour out on me everything that He has for me. It's mine. You need to claim your gift. You need to receive your gift. Just because a gift is offered does not mean that it's automatically received. For example, the gift of salvation is available to everyone. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, it's available to everyone. But it is not received by everyone. It is only received by those who repent of their sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of the Holy Spirit is available to all Christians. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is available to all Christians, but it is not automatically received. That's why in Luke 11, when Jesus talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? And he talked about the kind of asking that we need to do. We often quote it this way, everyone that asks shall receive, everyone that seeks shall find, to everyone that knocks, the door shall be open. But the actual Greek says, to everyone who keeps on asking, you shall receive. To everyone who keeps on seeking, you shall find. To everyone who keeps on knocking, it shall be opened unto you. It takes perseverance. It takes persistence as the worship team comes back. It takes perseverance. It takes persistence. We can't give up. And even once we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we need to keep persevering and persisting in prayer so that we will remain full of the Holy Spirit. Folks, God loves you. And God delights to give good gifts to those He loves. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a good gift. God wants you to have the gift of the Holy Spirit so much that He was willing to give His Son Jesus Christ on the cross to pay the highest cost so that you could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God says it will be life-changing. There it is, the three reasons to cherish a gift. The love of the one who gave it, the cost of the gift, and the fact that it changes our life. Do we cherish the baptism in the Holy Ghost? Or like that unexpressive husband, do we take it out of the bag and say, oh, that's nice, put it back in the sack and I'll put it on the ground and go about our business? Did we just take the baptism of the Holy Spirit out of the Bible for a few moments this morning? Look at it. Say, amen, that's nice. But as the service ends, we put it back on the pages of Scripture. And we walk away. Or will we this morning cherish the very best gift that God has? Will we cherish it by eagerly seeking to be filled? Or if we've already been filled, seeking to be refilled. Because that's something we need to seek on an ongoing basis. Will we cherish this wonderful gift? Let's believe that it's for us. And let's desire the gift God has for us. See, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit comes to those who thirst. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who thirst. That's desire. He said that the Holy Spirit is given to those who ask. That's prayer. And then we just begin to worship Him right out loud. Because in John 7 it says the Holy Spirit is given when Jesus is glorified. So we just begin to worship, praise Him right out loud. Focusing in on loving Jesus. And as we do, the Holy Spirit comes and fills us. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank You for loving us. For loving us so much that You would send Your Son Jesus to the cross so that through Him our sins might be forgiven and we could have a relationship with You. And thank You that through the sacrifice of Jesus You have made available to us Your very best gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray this morning that every one of our hearts would be so stirred by Your love for us, the high price You paid for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the life-changing power that He brings, that we would eagerly seek and cherish this precious gift. In Jesus' name, with your head.